Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing to talk about how to fulfill God's will. And as I've said throughout this entire series, this is actually three 5-part teachings, a total of 15 teachings that I've done on God's will. The first one was on how to find God's will. The second one was on how to follow God's will. We're now into the third 5-part series. This is the second teaching of that last 5-part on how to fulfill God's will. And this is specifically talking about patience. You know, right before I get into this, you're going to have to exercise a little patience for me to get my teaching. Let me just real quickly say that I just got back from a missions trip to the UK and to Uganda. And it was just powerful. And I just wanted to say a thank you to all of you who've been partners with us, who have given to this ministry, because, you know, most of our outreach in Uganda especially is like a missions thing. We don't bring in enough money to pay for all of the things that we're doing there. And we couldn't be doing the things that we're doing in these other countries if it wasn't for those of you who are partners. And I just was so blessed on this recent trip that I just really wanted to take a moment at the beginning of our program just to say thanks. You know, there's a lot of people, and I'm not saying this as a put down or a criticism of other people. I'm just saying it's the way people are. But the majority of people watch a program like this because of what they can get, because they are seeking to understand something about the Lord. And you know what? Every one of us needs more revelation and stuff, and that's not completely wrong. But it's kind of like those lepers that Jesus cleansed. You know, there was 10 lepers cleansed and only one returned to say thanks. It's always a minority of people who do more than just take, and they want to bless back. And this is the way that our ministry operates. We make all of our materials available free of charge. And if it wasn't for those of you who've not only been blessed, but then you give more than what it takes for the materials that you get or something like that, and especially our monthly partners, if it wasn't for people like you, we couldn't be having a ministry in Uganda the way that we have just experienced. And I tell you, we're going to do an entire program and an update about what's happening, because I believe that God is literally changing a nation in Uganda. We were also in the UK and we saw tremendous things happen. We actually had one lady come who, the year before, she had 2 children that were autistic, and I mean severe autistic. And I prayed with them, and the very night that I prayed with her about her children, the first one, the one that was the worst, slept all night long. And here it is a year later, and we were just back in the UK, and her children are normal. They were out in the children's church, just totally normal. So 2 kids healed of autism, which was a tremendous praise the Lord. We had other people with braces on and threw their crutches away and were totally healed. You know, another interesting thing that happened was that we had all of our flights from the UK to Uganda canceled because British Airways was on a strike. And so we had to get put over on the Emirates airline, and we stopped in Dubai, United Arab Emirates nation, and then we also stopped in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia. And it was really neat because on these Arab airlines, the stewardesses recognized me. They had been watching my program on television. One of them was just nearly jumping up and down, says, "Oh, I watch you every day." You know, we also found out that we have a Muslim cleric in Dubai who has seen my programs, ordered my materials, and he is teaching my spirit, soul, and body material in the local mosque in Dubai. I have no clue how that works. I don't understand the dynamics of that, but you know what? I just can't help but rejoice to think that people are hearing the truth about the gospel and how Jesus can change your life. It's tremendous. And in Uganda, we saw things happen that were just absolutely miraculous. We have now got our Bible college established there and our bookstore, and it is just tremendous the things that God is doing. So like I said, we're going to give a full update, but really the only reason I mention this is just to say thanks to those of you who have given more than what it takes just to get your materials and you have helped us because we literally are changing people's lives around the world. When you sow into this ministry, you are changing people everywhere. We also met people from Singapore that were in Uganda, and they watch us every day on television and talking about the thousands of people's lives that are being changed through our materials in Singapore. So praise God. I just want to thank you and say you're making a good investment. Amen. Now, we've been talking about how to fulfill God's will. And specifically, I started in this last teaching, the last of the three parts and the first of five teaching in this third album on God's will. I started talking about how you have to obey God. Now, that is really simple. But when I preach on the grace of God and how God doesn't deal with us on performance, to some people's mind, that just erases the importance of obeying God, because God's not going to punish us. God's not going to hold back from us, because after all, it's by grace. And even though it's true that God moves in our life by grace, obedience is still important, because if you don't obey God, Satan will take advantage of our disobedience. And one of the major scriptures that I used is Romans chapter 6, verse 16. And it says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." So if we don't obey God, it's true that God still loves us. It's true that God's plans for us don't change. It's true that God isn't going to fail to answer our prayers because we haven't done everything right. No, that's the grace of God. But it is untrue to say that obedience doesn't matter, because you give Satan a direct inroad into your life. It's just like a person trying to run a race and you just start carrying weights with you. That's exactly what the scripture, the word picture that the scripture uses in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, where it says, "Lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And it's talking about how that it's like running a race. The Christian life is like running a race. And if you want to win this race, you can't just load yourself down with weights. It's true that maybe, you know, God's not going to disqualify you from the race. Maybe you will cross the finish line, but you'll be in last place if you have a bunch of weights on you. You need to lay aside sin and weights that so easily beset you and run with patience the race that is set before you. So the very first thing we emphasized was you've got to obey God. If you don't, Satan is going to take your disobedience and eat your lunch and pop the bag. And then what I started talking about yesterday is that we have to have patience. I've already used that verse, Hebrews 12, 1. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us and run with patience the race that is set before us." If you are going to fulfill God's will in your life, you have to be committed to God for more than a day, more than a week, more than a month. You are going to have to get to a place to where you keep your course and you stay on track and you don't deviate from it. You know, patience is not a quality that very many people possess. As a matter of fact, let me use these verses. This is from Isaiah chapter 40. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter. It would be great if I just took the time to read the whole chapter, because this is exactly what it's talking about. It's the instructions to John the Baptist. John the Baptist quoted from these exact verses saying, "This is who I am. This is what I came to do." And in the very first few verses, it talks about how you're supposed to comfort Israel. And what are you supposed to say? You know, like in verse 6, it says, "The voice said, cry, and he said," this is talking about John the Baptist, "what shall I cry?" And he says, "All flesh is grass, and all of the goodliness thereof is the flower of the field." And the point that he's making in this verse and the following verses is that compared to God, mankind is just, it's not even in the same class. We are like grass that withers and passes away, whereas God is eternal. And so it starts making this contrast and talks about how that God is so powerful, so awesome, so far above just being a human being. And it's contrasting the almightiness of God to the finiteness of man. And then it starts making a contrast about, well, then if this is true, if this is the way that our God is, well, then what are we going to compare him to? And it starts showing the fallacy of idols and how that an idol is stationary. You can't move. You fix it with nails. It can't move. It can't talk. It can't do anything good or bad. Why would people worship an idol when there is the living God? And so this is what Isaiah 40 is all about, is contrasting the living, almighty, powerful God with the finiteness of man and the ridiculousness of all of man's ideas of coming up with gods and things like this. And so that's the background of it. And then it says in verse 28, says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And again, I could spend a lot of time preaching from these verses. There's a lot in there. But the main point that he's making is that mankind on their own do not possess this endurance. It just isn't human nature to be patient and to endure. Human nature is that we just start things and then we trail off, we fail, that we faint. And it says, even the youth, even the strongest of us, we have our limits and we come up against the hardships of this life. And you know what? It is just human nature to fail, to give up, to quit. It is not human nature to continue to just be steadfast and do all of these things. But it says, those that wait upon the Lord, God will give them supernatural strength. God never gets weary. God never faints. So the reason I bring these verses out is to say that as we start talking about patience, you need to recognize that patience really is not a human quality. It comes from God. You aren't going to be able to get patience just by gutting it out and saying, I'm going to try a little bit harder. You really need to draw on the supernatural ability of God that is available to us as believers, because it does not come naturally. Now, that is a strong statement, but that's exactly what this is saying. Even the youth, the strongest among us, are going to fail. But if you would wait upon the Lord, you will renew your strength. You'll mount up with wings as an eagle. You'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. But it has to be done in the power and in the strength of the Lord. And this is precisely the reason that so few people today are really patient and able to maintain their excitement and focus over a prolonged period of time. You know, as we get more into this teaching, I'll try and define this in more detail. But let me just say this quickly, that my definition of patience is not just sitting there and waiting in the sense that you're, you know, like you're waiting on a bus. And you're just sitting there looking at your watch and tapping your foot and saying, when is this bus going to come? That's the way that some people see waiting on God. You're just putting up. And so they will sit there and they'll be sitting in front of their TV watching as the stomach turns and filling themselves with all of this junk. And they're saying, well, I'm just waiting on God. That's not waiting on God. The wait that the Scripture is talking about right here in these verses is more like a waiter who is watching one of his customers. And if he's a good waiter, he is focused on them. He is waiting for the slightest little indication that they would like something. They don't have to look for him. He's not in the back room doing something else and saying, I'm waiting on my customer. No, when you're waiting on your customer, a good waiter will be sitting there watching to see if is their glass getting empty? Do they need a refill? Do they want anything? How's your meal going? And they are just focused. They may not be standing there at the table and interfering and being obnoxious, but they are constantly focused and looking for the slightest little thing that they can do to serve you better. That's what it's talking about when it says, when we wait on the Lord. This isn't talking about that, well, I've believed and I've asked God to heal me and I'm just waiting on God to do something. No, you have believed for God to heal you and you are focused and seeking God about this and saying, Lord, is there anything else that I need to do? So here's another way of trying to summarize all of this, that I believe patience is faith, but it's just faith over a prolonged period of time as opposed to just a momentary burst of faith. And, you know, in my experience with myself and with other people, there are a lot of people that will get excited. They'll hear me or somebody on television, or they'll come to a meeting. They'll hear a testimony of somebody that received something miraculous from God, and their faith will build momentarily. And during that church service, or when they're in an atmosphere of praise and worship and everybody there is talking about how awesome God is, their faith will rise and they will be in a realm of faith, ready to believe God. But the majority of people cannot maintain that focus. They can't maintain that same excitement. They can't maintain the same intensity of faith. And it wanes when they get by themselves, because their faith, it was kind of a corporate faith. They were caught up in the tide and swept along with other people. You know, if you're listening to me, there are many of you that I am describing your life. When you go to church, you hear the minister preach and you get all fired up. Or maybe you're talking to a friend and they're giving you their testimony about what God did for them. And you have faith and your faith rises and you believe God. And man, you are excited. But then when you are by yourself, you can't maintain that same intensity. The faith really isn't coming from you. It's you are deficient in your faith, and you are in a sense living off of the corporate faith of other people. And to a degree, every one of us need that. We need the encouragement. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 10, we're supposed to provoke one another unto good works. And so there is this interaction and this corporate anointing of the body of Christ. And I'm not denying that that exists. But I'm saying that most people only move into faith when they are in this corporate setting, when the praise and worship has been just perfect, when the preaching is great, when they've seen a miracle, somebody has given a testimony about how God has healed their body or saved their marriage. Their faith rises and they have this momentary burst of faith, but there are very few people who are able to continue that faith over a prolonged period of time. And that's what I believe the scripture is calling patience. Patience isn't just saying, well, I'm just waiting on God. And you aren't seeking God. You aren't excited about God. There's fear. There's unbelief. You're depressed. You're discouraged. And yet people will say, I'm just waiting on God. That is not patience. Patience is faith. It's just a prolonged faith. It's faith over a prolonged period of time. It's maintaining that same focus and that intensity. And if you are going to fulfill God's will for your life, you are going to have to get into faith over a prolonged period of time. You're going to have to be able to maintain your faith. You can't just be up and down based on what you heard today, what the doctor said. If it comes against what you have believed God for, you're going to have to be able to maintain the same level of intensity and faith that you had when you were in the church service and somebody prayed for you and everybody was clapping and saying, praise God, we believe you're healed. That same faith that you had right then, you're going to have to maintain it when the doctor says, nope, you aren't any better, you're worse, you're going to die. You're going to have to be able to maintain that faith even when you are outside of the church service, when you are away from your Christian friends, when you are in a situation where you can be playing your Christian music and listening to the Word and doing things. That's what the Bible calls patience. And I don't think that most people understand that. They think that patience is just sitting there and enduring and letting Satan beat you up. Let me use a scripture over here in Hebrews chapter 11. Is talking about Moses and how that he was able to endure. And it's talking about, some people call this the Hall of Faith or the Faith Hall of Fame, because it lists all of these people and what they did by faith. And it says in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 27, it says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now the word endured here, if you look it up, it's the same thing that is talking about patience. The word endure doesn't mean that you just sit there and suffer and things like this. It's talking about an intensity. It's an active word. It's not a passive word. I guess that's another way of trying to say this, that with most people, patience is passive. I'm trying to say that patience isn't passive. It's active. It is something that it takes a lot of spiritual maturity and effort to have patience. It is not passive. And it says here that Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. This is the exact same thing that was being said just a few verses later in chapter 12, where it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." Up there in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 27, it says, "He endured as seeing him who is invisible." In chapter 12, verse 1, "Run with patience." Verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus," looking and seeing Jesus, seeing the invisible. The way that you have patience is that you are going to have Jesus as the author and the finisher of your faith. You're going to have to be seeing what God has promised you, and you're going to have to stay focused on that. So I'm running short of time on today's program. Let me put all of this back into its context. I'm talking about how to fulfill God's will. You are going to have to know what God's will is. You're going to have to learn how to start following God's will. And then you are going to have to learn how to have patience or endurance. And the way you do that is by putting Jesus and what He has promised you, His goals. If you go all the way back to the beginning when I talked about how to find God's will, you've got to take the things that God has spoken into your heart about what His purpose for your life is, the things that He's taught you about how to follow His guidance, and you are going to have to persevere. You're going to have to endure. You're going to have to stand against some obstacles. I can guarantee you Satan is going to try and stop God's will from coming to pass in your life. Satan is really not afraid of you. But he is ultimately afraid of a person who taps into God and begins to start having God's life and power flow through them and starts doing supernatural things and representing God in a way that is beyond just human nature. Boy, Satan is scared to death of God and of God's ability. He can handle you. If you're just going to do your own thing and do it in your own strength and power, Satan's going to beat you every time. But when you start tapping into the life flow of God and start representing Him in a supernatural way, I guarantee you that is super detrimental to Satan and his kingdom. So he is going to come against you and do everything he can to keep you from fulfilling God's will, from having God flow through you. You will have opposition. And therefore, you aren't going to just see God's will come to pass without any obstacles, without any opposition. If you never bump into the devil, it's because you're both headed the same direction. You turn around and start going God's direction, you are going to have opposition. Satan is going to fight you, and you are going to have patience. You're not only going to have to find God's will and start following it and obeying what He tells you, but you are going to have to be patient because it is going to take time. There is going to be a period of time before you see the manifestation. And as I continue to go through this series, I'm going to use a lot of examples and make these points. But I think that most people realize that it takes time for a seed that you plant to grow up and produce a harvest. And the same thing is true in the spiritual realm. You know, I've got a lot of material on this. Again, we are now into our third and final album on how to fulfill God's will. If you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you some information about how you can get these materials, and I encourage you to please get them and then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled How to Fulfill God's Will was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD, as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. The second audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD titled Run with Patience, free of charge. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes three albums: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting four stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order.
Again, I'd like to remind you that we have taken these three teachings on how to find God's will, how to follow God's will, and how to fulfill God's will, and we put them into a package, what we call God's Will Package. And there's a total of 15 teachings on either CD or DVD, and then also we're including with it this DVD that has five testimonies of people who have found God's will, who are following it, and fulfilling God's will. And I tell you, this is inspirational. It'll fire you up. And so you're going to get the Word that will teach you how to do it. You will get testimonies of people who are doing it. And together, I believe that this package will make a tremendous impact. We've discounted it to the lowest price that we possibly could, and I encourage you to please call or write and receive this God's Will Package today.
You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center camp meeting September 12th through the 17th, in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 18th through the 19th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado at Caris Christian Center, October 3rd. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 4th through the 8th, in Buxton, Derbyshire, in England, for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 18th through the 20th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 11th through the 13th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Caris Bible College graduates are changing the world. CBC graduate Leland Shores III moved to Uganda, where he met his wife, Carol, and immediately began teaching the Word of God, establishing Caris Bible College Uganda, and helping spread the gospel truth in this predominantly Christian nation. CBC Uganda is in its first year and is already having a huge impact on this growing harvest field. For more information on this and other stories, visit awmi.net, click on Ministry News, and discover what's happening at Andrew Womack Ministries. Invest yourself in Caris Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries today.